heard the gospel reading about a rich young man who approached Christ and asked him, what is needful to attain salvation? And Christ listed the things that he should do. And he said, all this I have kept since my childhood. What else do I need? And Christ said, sell your belongings and give it to the poor. And the young man left disillusioned because he was rich. Today's gospel has a message for us. We live in a country and a society in which wealth is valued above all else. I would dare say that all of us possess a great deal more than what we really need in our lives. Despite this, we often are not satisfied and continually desire more or better things. Striving to obtain and increase our wealth has become the main concern in the lives of many people today. But what does the Savior tell us about wealth? His words could shock us. Verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on with a compassion that powerfully illustrates his message. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the heaven, into the kingdom of God. So what is the Savior saying? What is he telling us? Is he saying that we cannot achieve salvation unless we give up our wealth? Is he saying that only paupers can be saved and all others will go to hell? We can come to this conclusion, but only if we take his words out of context. However, if we study God's law in its entirety, we will find no evidence to support this view. In fact, in church history, we have many examples of saints who were rich. So what then is the church's position? God does not begrudge us our possessing wealth. As I said, we have cases of saints who were given great wealth by God. A wonderful example is Saint Job. He possessed great wealth, but lost it all when he was used by God to teach us how we should accept great suffering without losing faith. Job not only lost all his possessions, he lost his children and even his health. He had to endure great physical suffering, being inflicted with the most terrifying disease of his day, leprosy. But he never complained or lost faith. For this, God rewarded him by not only restoring his wealth, but even restoring everything in greater measure than what Job had possessed before. The great danger of wealth to our salvation, therefore, is not the wealth itself. Wealth is not sin, but the sin is how we obtained wealth, how attached we are to it, and how we use it. Let us examine how striving for wealth can be spiritually deadly. God gave us our bodies. They have their own needs and wants that must be met. God is not angered if we exceed the bare minimum in our meeting of these needs. But this is only true as long as our efforts are done honestly and do not damage anyone. So is in striving for wealth that can be spiritually quite dangerous. Wealth should never be obtained through dishonesty, a temptation that is very easy to fall in. Wealth has the potential of destroying compassion in one's heart, allowing one to hurt others in the pursuit of it. For example, a wealthy person might evict an elderly or sick person to rent out his apartment at a higher rate. This is not done out of need, but out of greed. The desire for wealth can also become so overpowering that it becomes the sole interest of the person, leaving no time for anything else. This person will then ignore the needs of his soul, the needs of other people, and even the needs of his family. The final danger that we look at is vividly illustrated to us by Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When God blesses a person with wealth, he expects the person to use it wisely. Yes, a person can and does use it for his own needs, but God also requires the person to share it with others, to help those that are in need. Not doing this, but using it only selfishly, or even worse, hoarding it, will result in a deadly condemnation that God pronounces over that person. It will have a profound influence on whether or not he will attain salvation. Our God is a loving and compassionate God. He knows our needs. He also understands our desires. He wants us to be happy and supplies us with so much. Let us remember that we are called to be godlike, to follow him in his footsteps and action. We too can be loving and compassionate. This should motivate us to view wealth in a spiritually way. When he does not give it to us, we should not complain. When he does, let us use it wisely and gladly share it with those who are less fortunate. And so, in doing so, we will attain our salvation and become godlike in being kind and considerate.